Welcome back to Claw Talks. I'm Emma, and today we are doing our monthly deep dive into the Swiss startup ecosystem, everything that happened in March 2026. Big month. Wild month, actually. We've got a $40 million space race, an AI acquisition story, Venture Kick hitting 1,000 startups, and a government report that basically said Switzerland is its own worst enemy. Ryan, you've been tracking this stuff closely, set the mood for us.
Yeah, so March 2026 is one of those months where you look at the headline numbers and think, okay, the ecosystem is firing. And then you read the fine print and there's this nagging tension. On one hand, you've got serious capital coming in, serious deep tech, world-class EPFL spin-offs doing things that sound like science fiction. On the other hand, a brand new SERI study, that's the State Secretariat for Education, Research and Innovation, dropped right at the end of March basically saying, Switzerland is structurally holding itself back. Regulation is too slow, established companies prefer to work with other established companies over startups, and the funding landscape still has gaps. So it's a month of contradictions, really.
Let's hold that tension throughout the episode because I think it's actually the most important thing for anyone building here right now. But first, the macro context. Because March doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Right. So heading into this month, the backdrop is 2025 was genuinely a record year for Swiss venture. The EY Startup Barometer for 2026, which dropped in late February and is still being digested, showed that total startup investment in Switzerland hit 3.3 billion Swiss francs in 2025. That's a 44% increase over 2024. 44%. That's not a blip, that's a structural shift.
And the sector driving it is, not surprisingly, AI. The EY data shows 163 distinct startups received AI-related funding in 2025, which is a 46% jump from the year before. Health tech is still the overall volume leader by total capital, but AI is closing the gap fast, and it's acting as the growth engine for the whole ecosystem.
The Swiss FinTech Study 2026 came out in late March as well, published around March 23rd, and that confirmed the same story in a narrower slice. In Switzerland and Liechtenstein combined, analytics, big data, and AI attracted the most funding rounds and the most investment volume in FinTech. 16 transactions, CHF 91 million, just in that subsector. That's meaningful.
So AI is not a trend at this point, it's table stakes. If you're raising in Switzerland in 2026 and you don't have an AI angle, you're swimming upstream.
Strongly agree. Okay, let's get into the deals. And we have to start with Pave Space, because this is just an extraordinary story. March 25, Lausanne-based Pave Space, a space infrastructure company, EPFL spin-off, closes a $40 million seed round. USD 40 million. This is one of the largest seed rounds ever seen in Swiss deep tech.
And what makes this even more interesting is what they're building. Orbital transfer vehicles. Basically spacecraft that can grab satellites and move them between orbits fast. The pitch is under 24 hours to reposition a satellite between orbital shells. Right now, if you want to move a satellite, it takes months or it takes a dedicated rocket launch. Pave wants to make it a next-day delivery problem.
The co-founders are Julie Boning as CEO and Jeremy Marshak as CTO. The round was co-led by Visionaries Club and Creendom, both serious European venture firms with deep tech credibility. And the reason this is getting so much European attention right now is the sovereignty angle. Europe is increasingly uncomfortable depending on US launch infrastructure, US orbital services. There's been reporting in Sifted specifically framing Pave's funding as being driven partly by investors who want to back European sovereign space capabilities.
This is the dual-use defense-adjacent narrative that we're seeing all across DOC right now, and I want to come back to that broader DOC story in a bit because Germany had some absolutely massive rounds this month too. But the Pave story specifically, you've got an EPFL spin-off founded in Switzerland, backed by European capital, solving a problem that has strategic geopolitical implications. That's exactly the kind of company the ecosystem here should be producing.
And they announced that a demonstration mission is already in motion, a kickstage engine firing is planned for the coming months. So this isn't vaporware. The 40 million is going straight into hardware testing and early commercial operations.
Okay, next significant story. VentureKick hit 1,000 startups. This happened on March 27th. The milestone company was Stellar Alpina, also, by the way, a space transportation startup, which feels very on theme for March, and the cumulative numbers from VentureKick at this point are staggering. Over 16,000 jobs created, more than 10 billion francs in follow-on financing generated. For context, VentureKick gives out CHF 150,000 at a time in its early phases. The leverage ratio here is insane.
It's a remarkable program. And it's worth saying, if you're an early stage founder in Switzerland and you haven't applied to VentureKick, stop what you're doing and apply. The signaling value alone is worth it. Investors know the selection process is rigorous. Getting through VentureKick is a credibility marker.
We also saw this month DeltaSpark, another EPFL spinoff, receive CHF 150,000 from VentureKick. DeltaSpark is doing something technically fascinating, converting CO2 into stable minerals while simultaneously producing cheap, clean hydrogen on site. So you get industrial emissions reduction and green hydrogen as a byproduct. It's early stage, obviously, but the clean tech signal is clear. Switzerland continues to invest seriously in the deep tech climate stack.
Now let's talk about the acquisition news, because March had a few interesting M&A moves. The biggest one headline-wise was StarMind. Zurich-based Swiss AI pioneer, they've been around since 2011, acquired by US support automation platform Capacity. StarMind built technology that maps which employees in a company actually hold the undocumented knowledge, you know, the stuff that's in people's heads but not in any documentation system. Capacity is going to integrate that into their platform.
I have complicated feelings about this one. StarMind is a genuine Swiss AI pioneer. They were doing knowledge graph and organizational intelligence work before it was cool, and they're being absorbed into a US platform. On one hand, an exit is an exit. The founders presumably did well, investors got their return. On the other hand, this is exactly the brain drain and technology extraction pattern that critics of the Swiss ecosystem point to. The value gets created here, and then it gets absorbed into a US corporate stack.
It's a fair critique. And I think the counterfactual question is, could StarMind have stayed independent or found a European strategic buyer? Maybe. But European enterprise software consolidation is still less mature than US consolidation, and the Capacity deal probably came with better economics and a faster timeline than a European equivalent would have offered.
Also from the M&A column, Zugbase Kielo Research, a company focused on integrating the patient perspective into medicine and medtech evaluation, acquired by UK-based Sanius Health, a patient data platform in the rare disease space. Kielo was founded in 2022, so only 4 years old. Quick exit for the Zug team.
And Zurich-based iFitU, which built proprietary sizing algorithms and brand partnerships for fashion tech, is being acquired by NeizFit, a subsidiary of MySize. The deal transfers iFitU's core technology into the NeizFit platform. Another case of Swiss-developed technology finding a home in an international corporate structure.
Let's pivot to some of the more grassroots ecosystem stories, because I think these matter a lot for the texture of what's happening here. SolarMonkey and Eternity, two clean tech software companies in the solar installer space, announced a merger in late March. Together, they're positioning as the European leader in installer software for solar. Fresh capital from a group of European investors came with the deal. This is consolidation in a maturing sector, which is actually a healthy signal.
And we can't skip Timeline. Timeline is the Swiss longevity biotech that developed Mitapu, the orolithin A compound that's clinically proven to reinvigorate mitochondria. They announced a partnership with Lancôme in late March. Lancôme is embedding Mitapu into a new skincare line around what they're calling skin longevity, the idea being that you don't just mask aging signs but you address the cellular biology underneath. For Timeline, this is a huge commercial validation. 15 years of research, and now it's on shelves at cosmetics counters worldwide.
That's a really satisfying trajectory. Basic science at ETH or EPFL spun out, built into a company, then a global brand partnership. More of that, please, Switzerland.
Now let me zoom out to the DACH context for a moment, because March in Switzerland doesn't exist in isolation from Germany and Austria. The DACH startup news for March was dominated by three themes: robotics, defense tech, and what's being called the Bavaria Signal, a noticeable geographic shift in German venture activity away from Berlin toward Munich and Bavaria. The single biggest data point from Germany this month was a robotics funding round that was described as the largest single robotics round in German venture capital history. We're not going to get into the specifics of the German deal, but the point is, the capital that's available in the DACH region for deep tech is real and it's scaling.
And this matters for Swiss founders because the investor networks are porous. Visionaries Club, which Colette Pavespace's round, is a Berlin-based fund. European venture is becoming more cross-border, and the Swiss ecosystem is increasingly tapped into that. You don't have to do a US roadshow to raise your Series A anymore if you're in deep tech.
Defense tech is the other thread running through all of this. There's a real question for Swiss founders specifically here, as Switzerland has its neutrality tradition, its export restrictions, and there's genuine political sensitivity around anything that could be classified as defense. But the lines are blurring. Orbital transfer vehicles can be civilian or military applications. Drone detection tech is dual use. AI for logistics optimization is dual use. The question for Swiss founders is, how do you navigate that?
And honestly, I think the answer is, be clear-eyed about it up front. Don't pretend your technology has no military application if it does, because that creates downstream legal and reputational risk. But also don't preemptively disqualify yourself from European defense funding if your tech genuinely solves a sovereign problem. The EDIP, that's the European Defense Industry Program, has €1.5 billion allocated for 2026 and 2027, including over €200 million for drones and autonomous systems. Swiss companies need to figure out if that's money on the table for them or money they're deliberately leaving on the table.
Okay, let's talk about the institutional ecosystem. Because March had a couple of good news items here. HSG Start Accelerator, that's the University of St. Gallen's Accelerator, launched its second batch at Start Summit 2026. 8 startups across robotics, health tech, climate tech, AI, and hardware. The program pairs founders with the university's entrepreneurship network, and given St. Gallen's reputation in European business education, this is a serious accelerator with serious alumni access.
And Project Switzerland launched its first batch 10 scale-ups selected from 160 nominations. The program pairs experienced founders who have a track record with 20-plus of Switzerland's most successful entrepreneurs as mentors. What I like about this is it's targeting a gap that's often overlooked, the bridge between early traction and Series B level scale. Most ecosystem support is at the pre-seed and seed stage. The scale-up gap is real.
ZKB Pioneer Prize Technopark. That's the Zürcher Kantonalbank Prize run out of Technopark Zurich, announced 5 finalists for 2026. The categories are photonics, robotics, pharmaceutical technology, and renewable energy storage. CHF 100,000 top prize, and the presentations happen on May 12. Worth marking in your calendar if you're in the deep tech space, the networking is genuinely valuable.
Also genuinely worth noting, Biomerix, global diagnostics leader, invested over CHF 1 million in Player, a Swiss scale-up that does real-time microbial detection and air sampling in cleanroom environments. The technology is called RapidC+, and it's basically disrupting traditional cleanroom monitoring. When a company like Biomerix writes a check, it's as much a strategic validation as it is a financial investment. They want Player in the ecosystem they're building around industrial diagnostics.
Let's come back to that CERI study, because it landed on March 26th and I think it's the most important policy signal of the month. The State Secretariat found, and I'm going to summarize, that long-standing structural issues are hampering the rise of startups in Switzerland. 3 main blockers: regulation that moves too slowly for startup timelines, funding gaps particularly in the growth stage, and a tendency for established Swiss companies to partner with other established companies rather than take a chance on startups as suppliers or customers.
That last one is brutal. The Swiss corporate culture of risk aversion isn't just about investors being conservative. It's about enterprise buyers being conservative. If you're building B2B software and your ideal first customer is a Swiss bank or a Swiss pharma company, you are going to face procurement processes that were designed for IBM, not for a 12-person startup in Schlieren.
And this is where I think being a Zurich-based software engineer who wants to go the founder route needs to be honest with themselves. The domestic market for B2B startup contracts in Switzerland is genuinely difficult to crack. The companies you'd want as reference customers are often the slowest and most bureaucratic to actually sign contracts with. Your path to traction is probably faster through international sales, specifically into Germany, the UK, or the US, than through Swiss enterprise customers.
Unless you have a warm intro chain, that's still how things get done here. The ecosystem is small enough that a three-hop introduction can get you in front of the right procurement decision maker at a Tier 1 Swiss bank. But you have to build that network intentionally. Don't assume your great product will find its own way into enterprise contracts.
So what does March tell us overall? The headline reads, "Deep tech momentum is real, space and clean tech are having a moment, AI is now table stakes, and the acquisition pipeline is active even if some of it is exits to US buyers." Underneath the headline, regulation is still a headwind, enterprise adoption of startups is still culturally sluggish, and the growth stage, between Series A and Series B, remains the most treacherous stretch for Swiss companies.
The Pave Space story is the one I want to leave people with though, because it's aspirational in the right way. Two founders EPFL spinoff, tackling a massive infrastructure problem with strategic European relevance, raising $40 million at seed stage, backed by credible European investors, with a real mission timeline. If you're sitting in Zurich right now wondering whether it's possible to build something genuinely world-class here, yes, it is. The talent pipeline out of ETH and EPFL is as good as anywhere in the world. The investor networks are increasingly pan-European. The regulatory stability, the quality of life, the talent density, these are real competitive advantages if you use them right.
The constraint is ambition. Switzerland produces incredible science and incredible engineering. What it sometimes fails to produce is the hunger to go global from day one. If you're building here, build with global intent from your first line of code, your first pitch deck, your first customer conversation. Don't let the comfort of Zurich be a ceiling.
On that note, April is Q2 kickoff. We'll be watching for follow-on rounds from the HSG Accelerator batch, whether the Pave Space demonstration mission actually fires as planned, and whether that SARI study generates any actual policy response or just becomes another report that sits in a drawer in Bern.
My money is on the drawer, but I'm happy to be wrong.
Ha! Aren't we all? Thanks for listening to Claude Talks. If you're a Swiss founder, engineer, or investor and you want to join the conversation, find us in the usual places. Until next month, keep building.
Cheers, everyone.